This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. You'd be forgiven for thinking 2017 is getting a little biblical, as the news shows images of one severe weather event after another. Harvey, Irma, Jose, Maria. Here in Vermont, we're just past the six-year anniversary of the devastation caused by Tropical Storm Irene, which flooded huge areas of the state, and the earlier spring flooding that year, which was also massive. Flooding is a serious business, and VPR's Howard Weiss-Tisman has been looking at the vital topic of flood insurance, which may not even continue to exist in its current form, with change occurring both in the climate and in Washington, D.C. Howard, thanks very much for joining us.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. So one of the pieces that you've written on this topic is called What Does Flood Insurance Mean in Vermont? So let's just start with that. What is flood insurance?
Well, in a very basic level, in 1968, the federal government started the National Flood Insurance Program, and it was started largely because private insurance companies just didn't want to cover homes and property because the losses were so much. And so the federal government started the program, and on a very basic level, what it does, it gives property owners an option to buy flood insurance.
And this idea of flood insurance that should be available to everyone, how is it set up and organized and run?
Well, the way that it works is that communities have to agree to take part in the program, and that happens on a town level in Vermont. So most of the towns in the state have agreed to take part, and when a town agrees to take part in the National Flood Insurance Program, any property owner in that town can buy flood insurance. But if you're in what is known as a National Flood Insurance Program flood zone, the bank will require you to have flood insurance if you purchase a new home or want to build a new home. So on a basic level, the town buys into it. And then if you're in one of these flood zones, you have to buy the insurance if you do any kind of real estate deal.
But what if you're in a town that doesn't buy into the program?
Well, you're up a creek, as they say. You can't buy it if the town says no. But another interesting point to remember is that it's only when you're in the flood zone is when a bank will require you to. And as we learned from Irene, flooding happens on steep hillsides and in valleys, and it happens often away from these flood zones. So as it's written right now, it just doesn't really work in Vermont.
Yeah, and sometimes flooding happens in towns where the town has not become part of the federal flood insurance program. And, you know, as you said, there really is no viable outside market for flood insurance in this country. Nonetheless, the future of flood insurance is very much up in the air. Can you talk a little bit about why and where it might go?
Yeah, and that's what sparked the reporting that I did. The National Flood Insurance Program has to be reauthorized every 5 years by Congress. And even before Harvey and Irma and all of the recent hurricanes, there was a lot of talk about trying to really take a really close look at this program. And the problem is that Superstorm Sandy and Katrina pretty much bankrupted the program, and it's about $25 billion in debt right now. So even before Harvey and Irma, there was a call to really try to look at how this program worked and how it didn't. A lot of really interesting ideas were floated, like possibly having the government get out of it and trying to get private companies in. That raises all sorts of issues because right now the program is kind of, it provides subsidies, and the flood insurance that people pay for doesn't really cover the losses that occur. And there is also, this doesn't happen so much in Vermont, but in other parts of the country, there are repeated loss properties. And that means there are places in Mississippi and Alabama that have literally had payouts 10, 20, 30 times. They get flooded, they get money. And there's been a call to kind of look at the whole program. And if that ripples back to Vermont, it raises some really interesting issues for the people up here who buy the flood insurance. There are a lot of low-income mobile home parks and just properties within flooding areas where people are buying insurance. And if the rates go up, it might be hard for them. So It's a really interesting issue, and it covers a lot of different grounds.
Yeah, what do you think might happen in Vermont? I mean, it's an interesting thing to look at, but when we're talking about people's lives and their homes, as you said, and sometimes very limited mobility or agency, you know, it gets really scary for people.
It does, and it's really impossible to predict what Congress will do. I mean, obviously, they've got a lot going on down there. What happened was that the flood insurance program needed to be reauthorized before September 30th. And in the last reauthorization, they kind of kicked the can down the road, and the program is funded now into December. But just like everything else going on down in Washington, they're going to have to address it. And I'm not quite sure what they're going to do. Another interesting point about is that if this program was left to lapse, there were a lot of real estate brokers who were really nervous because literally they would not be able to sell or buy a home, because if Congress did not address this before the deadline, the program would just die. So something's going to have to happen before December, and which direction Congress goes, it's just really hard to understand how they're going to address it and take care of this deficit. And remember that $25 billion was before Harvey and Irma, and the money that's going to be paid out in Houston and Florida, it's just unimaginable.
Well, it sounds like it's also untenable. I mean, you can't have a program that's going billions of dollars into debt and just goes deeper and deeper, but you also can't have people who are, just completely left to have to deal with this devastation on their own, especially if they bought in good faith when the program was available. I mean, what could possibly happen to make this right, given what we're seeing with climate change?
Well, that's what makes good journalism, because it's such an interesting topic. And, bringing climate change into it is a whole other thing. And when these lawmakers are talking about it down in Washington, you have one side who's saying that obviously climate change has a lot to do with it. The storms are bigger. They look at all the storms that have happened from Katrina to Sandy to the most recent ones. And you have the other side who are saying that climate change is not real and it has nothing to do with the issue. So some of the people that I talked to in Vermont were really frustrated because it seems like a really good opportunity to look at some of these issues and to really sit down. And like you say, these are impacting real people every day. And it might be a really good opportunity to get down and try to come up with a solution. But it's just not that easy in Washington for both sides to get anywhere.
Is there any traction for the idea that there could just be massive buyouts in places that are very prone to flooding, so that you're not just doing that continual payout to a place that's getting flooded over and over and over again?
There is some talk about that. And it's interesting in Vermont that there's a lot of conversations going on that are kind of independent. Vermont is trying to take the lead on some of this and trying to work in some of these communities, regardless of what happens in Washington, regardless of what happens with NFIP, and trying to make planners understand and towns understand and property owners understand that this is serious and this is something we need to deal with now, regardless of what Washington ends up doing with the program.
Howard Weiss-Tisman is VPR Southern Vermont correspondent. You can find all of his reporting on flood insurance at vpr.net.